standpoint than other people. So maybe a whole day where we just invite people, and there will just be little sections during the day of different things. So
like different health things, health food allergies.
But basic practical. So people understand that it's not, people understand it's not one way.
Yeah.
You know, because people pretty much, they take on a diet, and then they go with that diet, or they take on, you know, some kind of health practice, and they go with that. And all of us are unique, you know. People have a hard time understanding that I don't do fragrances, you know, not even essential oil. I don't do fragrances. I mean, there are many things I don't do. I'm mostly don't do it unless you know that it's going to be right for you. Yeah.
Because,
well, you can call that, but I mean, that's the word.
She has she does have a physiological response.
I have a physiological response. My body tells me what to do, and that's what I like to teach people. How do you know?
Have you ever experienced an argon accumulator?
A which?
Argon.
Argon,
I think it is.
Argon is a gas. Argon. O-R-G-O-N.
No.
O-R-G-O-N. What is it?
Oh, this guy's great. Oh, this guy. What is his name? Wright.
William Wright.
Anyway, look up argon accumulator and the name associated with that, the scientist associated with that. He was a really cool guy.
He is a cool guy.
And
I've done workshops with Wright.
Oh, okay. But,
not him as a human being.
He's old or apparently.
He's no longer alive, I think. Wright, I think, is long gone.
I saw a movie on him, and like, he was totally persecuted. And he actually built these things that actually...
all the weirdos get persecuted.
You would actually, this multi thing that you point at the sky and it would cause it to rain.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I mean, who
so
knows?
So we used to put white,
know,
we used to put pipes, we used to put pipes. What you do is you put pipes around the baseboard, and what it does is it brings the energy, the ion energy, do you remember? Into your home, okay? But it's just having an empty pipes around the baseboards of your home, and it'll totally shift the energy in your home, and so on and so on. I can't remember. This is like, you know, this is pre-Robert, which means it was more than 31 years ago. Because you didn't do that, right?
No.
Yeah, in a way, I resonate with you because I'm like you, but it's sort of like I'm over it because I just watch the same thing coming up with different flavors. And what happens is we get attracted to something that's just right for us, and then we want to sell it, you know. And to each their own. Everybody's different. Ayurveda for me, so we're going to go ahead and go for it, right? Ayurveda for me is a over 5,000-year-old, I'll say the most ancient health system, meaning that it's a system. So, you know, I know that forever human beings have had their own health systems. But this is one that got written down, that got into being public knowledge. And so for me, when it came up, it comes out of Deepak Chopra and Perfect Health. Did any of you ever read his stuff?
I've read some of his stuff, but not a lot of it.
So when he came in and started presenting his work and did the various clinics he has everywhere, he started with health, with Ayurveda. But the truth is that Chopra, like all of us, if you don't get stuck and glued to something, has gone on more and more and more to all kinds of other things. So he's compared Buddha and Jesus. He's helped us look at prosperity principles. And success principles. And I highly recommend his work. I'll bet you a bunch of his books are over there. Mostly little, mostly easy to read, mostly with, I like questionnaires, and I like things that I can just hand to people, go ahead and do this. So that's why I like his work. And he does, you know, 10 Keys to Success. I don't remember the names. But tons of books. And he's still out there. He's on PBS. He has tape sets, he has Keys to Insomnia and Weight Loss and on and on and on. You know, he's one of these guys that's done a whole bunch of things. And he's the one that introduced this stuff to this country. But what I'll tell you is, from my standpoint, I have this highly sensitive body here. Probably me too. By the way, who has on essential oils right now?
Me.
Yeah.
That's why I said.
It's a bit much for me. So what I'm going to do, open that door. No, it's okay. Just open that door.
It's the face on it. I just put it on.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I don't have to have it on.
Okay.
I'll wash it off.
Okay. Thank you. And you can leave that door open. Just let it, yeah. The two things that three things that I rely on. One is Robert and Energetic Life Balancing and Touch for Health. Which is a very natural system. You know, you don't ingest anything, and it's just clearing, 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 letting go. And Ayurveda and homeopathy. Three things, and that's it. No doctors. I don't go anywhere. Oh, and every once in a while I experiment again. Like I said, pretty much I don't follow anybody. I experiment. So between the two of us, we've tried out hundreds of different ideas, systems, possibilities. I mean, we're very, very good at that. We met a naturopath in Hawaii who was fun to be with.
Yeah.
And so if I haven't said it here, I just ask permission from Robert again inside. So I'll just say in here, so one of the things, besides all the things that I've totally experienced in my life that I've cleared, Robert has experienced Lyme's disease back in the late 80s, and then MS, diagnosed in, let's say, 2001. And between the two of us, we've experimented and tried everything, and we don't do medical. We don't do traditional. We do pay attention to your body, do what your body needs. So we're coming from a lot of experience, plus helping a lot of people. And as I said to a couple of you yesterday, out of eight people I saw yesterday, three came with, I would say, real health issues. And for them, it was real, diagnosed. And what I believe is there's a big need around here, so that's why I have this intention, and we'll see when it comes up, late May, June, something, to do a day-long holistic health, vitality, whatever you want to call it, seminar all day, workshop all day, and this will be a piece of it, so that people can start looking at things in a more expansive way, because I think we get really narrow, we don't expand our minds to say, hey, that resonates with me, that feels right, I'm going to try it, if it works, keep it, if it doesn't work, let it go. And what was it just recently? I just looked up recently. Do you guys know about pinworms? Anybody know about pinworms? If you have kids, you probably know about pinworms, or you should. But it happens to all of us, all ages and everything. And here's a very simple natural thing, ironically, for pinworms that I never would have thought of or seen. Eating one raw carrot every morning. Intriguing, huh? Pinworms, you have an itchy butt or an itchy crotch or whatever.
My mom used to grate the carrot.
Yeah. Yeah. And my grandma and my mom always had all this natural stuff. So Ayurveda for me, huh?
That's so great. That is so good.
Yeah.
It's really good to hear that, you know, that kind of information is wrapped.
Yeah, it's the real deal. You know, and it doesn't cost any money, you know, and you don't have to go to somebody. You know? Yeah. Food is fabulous. But mostly, if we eat way too much and too big a variety, and then we get confused about what it is that's not right for us, you know, and then it's hard to figure out. One of the good people about food that I'll just share with you is Elson Haas. He's a naturopath, preventive holistic medicine in San Rafael, if you haven't heard from him, of him. Elson, H-A-A-S. And he now has a center or a clinic, whatever you want to call it, with a wide variety of people who work there. But I'm going to recommend something with the seasons, nutrition with the seasons,
yeah.
False fat diet, which basically is a really good elimination diet. And you wind up discovering that fat is what's keeping any toxic material from visiting your whole body. So fat is actually helpful containing toxic stuff. Once you get rid of the toxic stuff, you don't need the fat, and so the fat. So that's just a little quick thing. So this is by way of introducing, inviting anybody else who wants to come in or go out, to introduce Robert, because he went to Fair, what is it? In, do you remember?
Fairfield.
Fairfield,
I think, Iowa. Yeah.
Fairfield, Iowa. And I took a training in being an Ayurvedic practitioner, pulse diagnosis, all of that. Have any of you heard of Ayurveda or experienced it?
Mm-hmm.
You have.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at you, see that, and you too. Pulse diagnosis, very, very, very helpful. So he's going to talk about that. Do you want to introduce the questionnaire to have us do?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going to talk about it in general, and then we do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just give me 2 minutes to...
No. Yeah. You can have as much time as you want.
Well, I just want to put it in perspective. Ayurveda, the Vedas are the sacred texts from India, and so Ayurveda really means the science of life, and it actually came about because it was at a time when the Indian culture was really getting less and less healthy, getting more and more worldly, less and less connected spiritually. And so the spiritual leaders said, basically, you know, we got to do something to get us back in right relationship with ourselves, with nature, with our bodies, with people, with God. You know, we've got to do this. And so Ayurveda actually is a very, very comprehensive system, mind, body, spirit, all the way. And a very small portion of it is all of the physical stuff.
Right.
And it was so advanced ahead of its time. I mean, most of this was divinely channeled, guided, you know, written stuff. But that, I know it's been a long time now, but sometime in the 80s, there was some big, you know, scientific breakthrough in heart surgery, you know, that they finally figured out how to do something special. And it was written specifically in the Ayurvedic text 5,000 years ago. That's surgery. Okay? And the same, there was a brain surgery procedure that was written up in the Ayurvedic text. And so Ayurveda covers everything from what we would call now allopathic medicine, you know, which basically, you know, from the surgery, from all that kind of stuff, you know, to, you know, to meditation and to lifestyle and to all of that. So the focus tonight, I want to just share with you some basic concepts, but also then look at some lifestyle things that we can each do that will help get us more in alignment or in tune with nature, with our own nature, with our own world, with our own relationship to the world. So yes, now you can look at this. There's a questionnaire here, and actually, I'm going to have you do this since you want to do this. Let's do this first. And it's in three sections, and I'll make it all clear later on, and it'll be clear to you probably you should do this. And I want you just to mark, and don't take a lot of time. I mean, don't think and ponder. Just kind of zip through tonight. You can always look at this later on. I'll tell you other ways to use this. But for each item, you're either not at all, somewhat, or mostly, that describes what's true for you. And so I'd like you to go through and just mark those as they apply in each of those sections. Put this thing on. When you're done with this, what I want you to do is add up the numbers for each section. And that means add, you know, just add up all the numbers you've circled, add them up and get a total for that section. And do that for each of the three sections. Good? Great. So,
yes, we're good.
Yes. So, how many people had one of these sections which was clearly higher number, higher total than the others? Anybody have one that was clearly higher?
What was the question?
Did you have one area that was clearly higher total than the other two areas?
Oh, yeah.
That's usual. So let me tell you a couple of things about what this is all about. So we'll go to teaching mode for a minute, and then we'll come back to how that applies with this. But in Ayurveda, there are three qualities that make up our being. And each of us has all three qualities. So I want to say that first of all, because we start talking about types, and we name those types by the name of the quality, but it doesn't mean that we don't have the other qualities, okay? We each have our own particular mix or blend or amount, our right ratio of those qualities that gives us our uniqueness, our individuality. So these qualities are, first of all, the first one is called, I'll do one more thing, wait. And that is in Ayurveda, as in a lot of the Eastern stuff, there's five elements. So they have space, which we don't have as an element. And then they have air, fire, water, and earth, okay? And obviously, if you think about it, space is the space, and air is the stuff that fills the space, and da-da-da-da, okay? So if you go in that route, by the way, you'll notice that space is the most ethereal, okay? And earth is the most solid. So if you go down that continuum, it's more and more and more and more embodied or earthly or solid. So the first quality that we're talking about is the Vata. It's V-A-T-A, it's Vata. And Vata is the combination of space and air. So Vata as a quality, it actually resides mostly in the head. And if you think about it, it is the quality or it's the place in our physiology that receives spiritual energy. It's kind of like the thoughts and the ideas and that energy in its most diffuse form before it embodies itself. So Vata is very light, it's very airy, it's very quick moving, it's very changeable, okay? And we all have some of that in us. The second quality is Pitta, that's P-I-T-T-A, and Pitta is a combination of fire and water. Now, interesting combination of fire and water, obviously, you know, it depends on which one's on top, what results you get. So if you think about it, fire under a container of water is very useful. You know, fire under loose water doesn't help a whole lot. So at any rate, it's fire and water. And Pitta is it's embodied in your body, more in the chest area, the heart area. The heart is actually the center of Pitta. But Pitta is very emotional. And it's very intense. It's very driven. It's very hot. Okay, fiery energy. And so Pitta is more embodied and it's more of what I'll call right now the emotional energy, but it's that kind of energy in our body here. Then you have Kapha, that's K-A-P-H-A. Kapha is a combination of water again and earth. Now, Kapha is the most solid, stable, and so the navel area is the home of Kapha energy. And Kapha is kind of like the bricks and mortar, literally. So you have earth and water in the right mix, you get good solid bricks. You get too much water and it's a little sloppy, okay? And you get, you know, too little water and it's a little, you know, inconsistent or crumbly. But Kapha really is all about stability, it's solidity. It's much more slow-moving. So Vata is very quick, Pitta is a little slower, but Kapha is just very deliberate, very slow in terms of its movement and its energy. So each of us has all three of these qualities. We couldn't exist unless we had all three of these qualities. And it's what mix we have. So the clue here is real obvious. The first section is your Vata energy. The second section is your Pitta energy. And the third section is your Kapha energy. Okay? So The questionnaire has its own limitations, which I'll talk more about in a minute or so, but that gives it some extra utility later on. So it's not quite as accurate. What's most accurate is actually doing a pulse diagnosis, because there are ways with the pulse of finding out by feeling literally the energy at different places on the pulse to tell you which of these Vata, Pitta, Kapha are the strongest and how they relate to each other. But this gives you a good clue. So how many people had the highest score in their Vata area? All right, so, wow, most of us here. All right, who had highest score in their Pitta area? And Kapha?
It makes no sense. It's totally different than the other time I've done it.
I'll talk about that.
But it's not your constant. You're not looking at constitutional type right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
which area are you the highest in?
I have, what is it? I have 53, 52, and 54.
Great. Oh, really?
57,
52, 42.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of times you'll have two that are fairly close and one that is a little farther behind. And so let me tell you a couple of things, because Betty Lou just mentioned a term, constitutional type.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because in Ayurveda, what really matters if you're going to make long-term plans about stuff is to know what your constitutional type is.
What you're born at.
Yeah. What is your natural, inherent mix of this Vata, Pitta, Kapha? You will not be able to tell that with any accuracy with this test. Okay. Again, you need a pulse diagnosis to do that. But if, for instance, I'll just give you kind of an idea here. It didn't sound like we had too many of those, but if you had really almost everything in one area, like if I had Vata scores that were, 65, and I had Pitta scores that were 30 and Kapha scores that were 20, I would be what you would call a pure Vata type. I'd be a Vata type, meaning that I have more Vata than the other two combined. And the same with Pitta. If I had more Pitta than the other two combined, I'd be straight Pitta type. And Kapha, the same thing. I happen to be constitutionally a Pitta type. I have way more Pitta than, if you add up all of my Vata energy and my Kapha energy together, they don't come close to where my Pitta energy is. So there are three constitutional types, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, that if you have predominantly one, you're just a single type. Does that make some sense?
But we're not talking about this.
Not this right now,
not
okay?
This.
The second piece...
Let me see if I can... Well, because I want to give you an idea of the overall picture here. So you have a Vata, and you have a Pitta, and the top. Now, for most, so you can be either just the one major type, the other two just kind of minor roles, okay? The other possibility, and that's what happens for most people, is you're what's called bi-doshic, bi meaning two. You have two doshas that are pretty darn close to each other. You know, 54 in one area, 50 or 48 in the other area, okay? And so you can be a...
What does dosha mean?
Excuse me. Did I not say that before? Dosha, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Those are the three doshas. Sorry about
so
that.
So what does it actually mean, a dosha?
It just means type, constitutional type.
Okay.
Yeah. Or quality.
Okay.
And right now, by the way, I would call it a building block. I mean, you ask me right now, that's how I would describe it. It's like we have three different kinds of building blocks. And so we have some windows, we have some walls, and we have some foundation, okay? And so some buildings need more foundation, and some buildings need a lot more windows, and some buildings, have equal windows and walls, and so on. Okay, so look at this building block. Thanks for asking the question. So you could be a Vata Pitta type. Vata and Pitta are pretty close and Kapha's far behind. And you don't have to worry about this right now, but I want you to get the idea. You could be a Vata Kapha type with very little Pitta. You obviously could be a Pitta Kapha. All right. So
So that's three more possibilities. Now, the other thing is that you could be vata pitta, and that would mean that you have more vata than pitta, but pitta's close, which means you could also be a pitta vata, which is more pitta than vata, but vata's close. All right, so, and same thing here. And so, let's see, how do I want to do this? Kapha, pitta, okay. So those are all the bi-doshic types. Then there is one more, which is tri-dosha. Now, tri-dosha is when you have pretty much equal of each vata, pitta, and kapha. And that's where Betty Lou sits, okay? And so tridoshic is you are equally vata, pitta, and kapha. Now, I went through all this to tell you, so we don't, you know, yeah, there's a lot of things about, okay, what's the best? There isn't the best. The best is the way you were created to be, okay? It is not best to be tridoshic. It is not best to have equal amounts of all three of these. In point of fact, by the way, it's best for somebody like Betty Lou, but it also has its challenges, and I'll talk about those in a moment. So what's best is to find out what is your natural balance. So for me, I'm going to give you a little piece here. So vata, pitta, and kapha. All right, so for me, let's just see. I think I'm someplace like this. Like this, and like that, okay? So let's assume that's accurate for me. I'm way more pitta than I am the other two, okay? That's what I am made to be. That's when I am living that out, when I'm experiencing that exact balance, that exact ratio. I am the healthiest, I am the happiest. So here comes a major principle in Ayurveda, and thanks guys for sitting through the theory stuff, because it'll make some of these other things make some sense. All imbalances from an Ayurvedic point of view, and I some other day will make the point, almost every point of view, but all imbalances are imbalances of excess. All right?
Too much of something.
Excess. So, right now, today, I filled out this form. And according to this form, if it were accurate, I actually look about like this.
Right.
I look about like a bi-doshic type, okay? Now, that's not good for me. My vata is really, really high. And in order to balance that, in order to balance an imbalance, you need to reduce, or what they call pacify. Now, no, sit down, relax, okay? Pacify the overenergy. In the West, in our current form of allopathic medicine, the tendency is to increase, oh no, I need, you know, I got my bottom pitta almost the same, I can get my pitta up. Okay? So you end up continually, now the pitta is out of balance because it's more pitta than I'm supposed to have. Maybe it's a better ratio between the two, but now I'm over in both of them. So the only way for me to come back to balance is to do something to reduce that imbalance. Does all that make some sense?
And there are natural tools to do that.
All right.
So, natural tools.
So that's where...
I didn't quite understand how you say right now you are that by these questions.
Yes, yeah. So let me talk a little real quickly, and then I'll tell you about how to reduce these. Our culture, United States, well, actually every culture, we can look at each culture as a in relationship to the doshas, okay? So, for instance, a real obvious pitta culture would be the Middle East. Okay, I mean, it's fiery, it's hot. You know, you could look at the positive pit of energy, and you could look at you know, like the Spanish or the, you know, people who have lots of, you know, energy for everything. Okay, but that's pit of energy.
They're intense and impassioned.
Yeah.
But they don't have that, so they don't know.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And now, if you look at like South America, or if you look at some of the tropical islands, okay, those are kapha cultures.
Hawaii.
Yeah, it's kind of like, hang back, that's no problem, mañana, we'll get to it, no big deal, you know, slow and steady wins the race. Well, the United States, although it varies across the United States, so let's just look right now, East and West Coast, are very vata imbalanced.
Too much vata.
There's way too much movement. Everything's got to be faster. Everything's got to be better. Everything's got to be changing all the time. Everything's got to be new all the time. You got the energy, okay?
Where is this again?
United States.
Here?
California, New York.
Vata, yeah.
Oh, heavy on
Vata. Too much airy fairy.
Yeah.
Too much spaceship.
Oh, too much airy fairy.
Too much in your head.
Too much concrete and action.
No. Mm-hmm. Too much airy fairy and too much fast movement, which can look like it's action, but it's everything is moving really quickly.
So it's head.
It's head and it's fast.
If you want to have some description, it's down here. All the vata is right down here. It's all those things. That's vata.
See,
the next one is all those things. Yeah. Pitta, and the next one is all those things. Kapha.
So in the West Coast and the East Coast, I pick on the coast because they're more this way, they're more obvious. It's better to be fast. It's better to have a new idea. It's better to have a thin body. It's better to be brilliant. It's better to be quick. It's better to, you know, have new inventions and everything else. Okay, so it's everything is moving. And we tend to catch the energy that we're in. And so right now, when I just fill this out, if I fill it out, how am I right now, today, which is what I did because I was curious,
mm-hmm.
I have way more vata than I should have.
You also live with me.
Yeah. So I'm not slowing down enough. I'm not putting enough of my heart into everything that I'm doing. I'm moving too quickly by it. I miss the juice. I miss the goodies. I miss, you know, grounding the thoughts and the ideas, and because I'm so busy moving quickly trying to keep up. Does that make some sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what will show up here if you take this test relative to what's going on in my life right now, which is why this is really nice, just hanging around, just go, oh, right now, yeah, I see a lot of vata. Right now I see lots of pitta. I mean, I'm pissed. I'm in. Stuff is going on. I don't know what to do with it. I want to find something. I'm like, you know, okay, great. I got a lot of pitta imbalance. So it'll tell you what's happening right now. If you took this based on your whole life, which is hard to do because you're influenced by right now, it would give you a better picture, a closer picture to what your constitutional type is. So having said that, that's why I want you to know you can use this to kind of help you see where am I out of balance right at the moment. But also you can see that you can't rely on this to tell you what your constitutional type is. But let's go over now to the flip side of this. Yeah.
It seems like this isn't particularly useful without knowing what our constitutional type is, because that's what we balance it to.
Well,
if this is my constitutional type, then it's cool. If it's not my constitutional type, then I'm out of balance.
So
right. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, what would be most accurate is to have a pulse diagnosis and then know what your actual constitutional type is. However, if you hang out with this, and if you actually are with this at various times in your week or in your month or whatever, and look at it longer term, you'll get a feel for what's really at home for you, okay? And mostly you'll actually notice what irritates you about or what doesn't feel right to you about the things that are scored high. That's not like me, you know. So that intuitively tells you more about your type. But you're right. This is not an accurate thing, but it gives you something to work with in the moment.
Also, I want to acknowledge, Art, when you do this, sometimes people know what they need more of. So when they do this, this other side, they will get clear about what side, what which
yeah.
type they're balancing, which dosha they're balancing. So you'll be drawn, for instance, to
yeah.
one of these areas, and it just says that you have an excess in that area.
So I'm going to tell you one other thing, because this might help.
And you could have a pulse diagnosis that
yeah.
there's need to do.
The other thing to know is because we're dealing with rebalancing by reducing excess, what you want to know is that I will never be able to reduce this below its natural amount. In other words, I can't do anything wrong if I reduce, you know, do too much of this pitta pacifying stuff or vata pacifying stuff. I'm not going to go so under vata, I'm going to be out of balance. You're never going to be out of balance for having too little. Your imbalance is always having too much.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it sort of foolproof. Does that make some sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't take too much of the medicine, as it were. You can't do too much of the pacifying that's going to throw you out of balance.
And by the way, that's what the other side is. It's
yeah.
about pacifying all three areas. That's what he's going to talk about now.
So remembering now that all imbalances are excesses, and to balance any dosha, you want to pacify it or calm it down. So vata, so that's my current imbalance, and there's a lot of vata here.
It's very likely that all of us have some vata imbalance. It's likely,
yeah.
okay, just because that's our culture. However, here in Lake County, I'll have to say that there's much more kapha imbalance,
mm-hmm.
meaning too much sluggishness, sitting around, not doing anything. Maybe not for those of us, I'm looking at your body types too, in this room, but this tends to be very kapha, this space right here. And by again, what's kapha? It's the stuff that you see down here in section 3.
So I just want to, what I'm getting right now, and I just want to sort of have
yeah.
to give you a perspective on it, is that there's no such thing as being too low in this system.
Right, exactly.
It's always going to be a, okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like that in terms of foundation, not to confuse that with kapha right now, but you have a floor that you don't go below the way you're made, and any imbalance is always an imbalance of excess.
Oh, that's very interesting.
And so, yeah, so you can pacify all three doshas equally, and you'll never go below where you should be. So that helps.
So can I give sort of my overview of all three of these doshas, just to give you a different way that I look at it? Simplistic, I'm always simplistic. So vata is too much thinking, too much worrying, too much na-na-na-na-na-na, can't shut down your mind. Pitta is too much anger, too much pushing, too much competition. Kapha is too much kind of hanging out and just doing whatever you feel, slow and steady, you know? A too much slow and steady, sitting around, doing nothing. That's my very simplistic way of looking. And by the way, all three have different body types. So the top is wiry and skinny and, you know, fast and all that stuff. The pitta type is very athletic and muscular. The kapha type is kind of round and slow and steady, right? Endurance for the kapha type. I'm just giving you a simple overview.
Mm-hmm. How much correlation is there between this and Sheldon body type, being like ecto, endo, mesomorph?
There's not enough, not enough correlation.
If there's any
yeah, yeah, not enough to be reliable, because you can have a vata imbalance, which has to do with movement, which can usually be over, okay? But you can have a vata imbalance that just shuts down in vata, and then you end up with an obese vata person, okay? So you really can't tell by the external body type, but the natural body type you could tell.
Yeah,
definitely. So I'm going to propose something just that. Whatever your low position is actually your balance point, because the other two are higher. I don't know. It just looks to me like I wouldn't go
yeah.
any below 50.
It's actually not, yeah. because those questions are showing imbalance.
Yeah. But it, also I want to just say, that's not my low point. That's my low point for kapha. That's my low point for pitta. That's my low point for vata.
So each one has its own floor.
For each person?
Yeah.
Right, okay, and this is determined in the pulses?
In the pulses and how we're made, basically. The pulse gives us a better picture of it. But let's go looking at what we can do with this right now, because you'll actually be able to tell from some of this what you need to do. If you have a vata imbalance, the key to balancing vata is regularity. Routine schedule, regular habits, having enough quiet, drinking lots of warm fluids, avoiding mental strain, overstimulation, and stress, get plenty of rest, stay warm, and I'll talk to you about the sesame oil massage in just a little bit, okay? So what I'll tell you is that if you resist regularity, don't pin me down, don't fence me in, don't tell me what to do, I'll be home when I'm going to be home, I'll be done when I'm going to be done, you know, don't, then you have a vata imbalance. So you know right away, if you have any resistance to doing the things that would pacify the dosha, you need to do them. All right?
Pacify the dosha.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. Hold on. I just want to make sure you're right here. You're saying, in my case, I'm low on the vata right now, but it's interesting. But anyway, so to pacify the dosha, where's the imbalance in the vata? In my case, if I had a low vata, where would the theoretical imbalance,
okay,
be?
We don't know.
You don't know. See, I can't tell you from that. All I can tell you is...
All in comparison to your...
I'm going to tell him what type he is.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to type you from... This is the Betty Lou intention.
Yeah.
So you are a pitta type, right? That's the anger in you. That's the strength in you. That's the...
Doesn't matter what shows up on there.
Yeah, don't worry about what shows up.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you your constitutional
life.
I'm going to play.
I'm going to play it out.
And what I would say is, on occasion, you go to the kapha type and there's an excess of that, meaning hanging out, right? And on occasion, you get too mental and up into the vata type. In other words, you sometimes have an excess of vata and sometimes an excess of kapha. I'm just going to straight away say it, okay?
Okay.
And it's by knowing a person and being able to see what's going on. And by the way, when you work with this or anything, you wind up having some intuition about it. You know, and I don't know you that well, but yeah, I could probably type you. But you know, without knowing this stuff, and I think all of us can wind up doing that by simply looking at this, as Robert said, and asking ourselves, is there a place that we are overdoing anything? Because all of us, I think, know when we're overdoing something. By the way, vata types and this culture, it's hard to have them have any regularity about anything. And vata is, you go to the bathroom at the same, you poop at the same time every day, right? You have at least one meal at the same time every day. You have some kind of system or regularity about something in your life.
You get up and get to bed at the same times every day and so on.
It's healthy.
You
know? Not unhealthy, it's healthy.
And you're willing to set appointments and keep those appointments happily, not grudgingly, and things like that. So again, I'm going to say, if you have any resistance at all at any time in your life to adding more regularity, more accountability, you probably have a vata imbalance and you need to do exactly that. Okay?
I got a weird question.
Yeah.
What if you have a lot of regularity, let's say you don't resist, well, let's say you do a lot of these things in vata, but you don't like them. You know, like there is a lot of regularity, but I'd rather not have it.
Yeah.
It may be that you have an imbalance in some other area. You don't have enough of spicy foods, let's say. This has to do with the food too. Big time.
So, if you're doing the right things and you're not feeling good about it, then that's an imbalance in another area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple way to get more information quick about all this is Perfect Health by Deepak.
The book is called Perfect Health.
It's probably over there somewhere.
Yeah.
Unless somebody has it.
So let me go to pitta, okay? If you have a tendency to be imbalanced in pitta, then the key there is moderation. So if your tendency is to get easily upset, or if your tendency is to always be competitive with everything you do, or just be a picky perfectionist to the point of distraction, then what happens is you need moderation in your life, which means you need coolness, avoid strenuous exertion or overheating, take time to wind down, pay attention to leisure, take some time off, have a vacation, get a hobby. I'm talking to myself here, okay?
I know, I'm smiling.
You need exposure to natural beauty. You need outside as much as possible. You need a balance of rest and activity. You need to decrease your stimulants, and you need to take in only pure food, water, and air.
I'm so glad we're doing this.
Yeah.
Because I forget about this stuff.
You know? Oh, yeah.
We know so many things. I'm glad we're doing this because it's really good. Yeah. And yeah.
So when you're out of balance with kapha, and usually, as Betty Lou described, that means kind of hanging out, sluggish, slow. And that also is like avoiding doing things and putting things off and being lazy, whether you're happy about it or not. It means that you need some stimulation in your life. Mm-hmm. Now, think about this for a minute in terms of the elements. Kapha is the most solid. If it gets too solid, you need to stir things up a little. Vata is the most airy and moving. If it gets too fast and airy and moving, you need to solidify things a little bit. Okay? So for kapha, stimulation, you need to seek variety in your life. So if you've got a kapha imbalance, you need to do something different. Even if it's just putting your left shoe on first and then your right, instead of vice versa that you do every morning, okay? Exercise regularly and preferably daily. Avoid overeating. Stay warm and dry. Avoid dampness. Reduce sweetness in your diet. And that has nothing to do, we're going to talk about that in a bit, it has nothing to do with calories or anything like that. It has to do with the flavors. Dry skin massage to stimulate circulation, and I will talk about skin massage today. And be honest with yourself when you're sick and need recuperation. Okay, so don't push yourself beyond. I mean, if you're really sick, if you have a reason to be slow down, then honor that, okay?
So I just want to say, speaking of honor, it's really interesting because it's like I can see each of these areas. And I cared for myself very nicely. I'm really happy with myself about how putting your left shoe on instead of your right.
Yeah.
It's like I just somehow instinctually, I can feel myself going too much like this, too much like kapha.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, well, you know, I'm getting up earlier this morning, and I'm going to go and do this, and I'm going to, and I've been trying to align my nature with the context.
And that's what all of this is all about, by the way. I mean, if you get beyond, this gives you a way, like Shale was saying, to relate to it and to notice, you know what, I do notice some areas of my life that are kind of out of sync or don't feel right. So it's not about figuring this out and learning this system. It's about having an increased awareness of your relationship with your world.
Right.
And what's working and what's not working. And whatever you do to have it work again, it's going to be good.
And having like mercy and compassion on yourself.
For yourself.
Yeah, yeah, have a little compassion. That's good.
Nature.
Okay. Honor yourself.
Yeah.
So I want to shift now to what can we do with all of this besides paying attention to how do you balance the imbalances, okay? Because there are a lot of things that we can do with our routine, with our life, our lifestyle, that will help keep us in balance. So the concept I want to introduce next is the concept of what they call kalas. And so let me let these guys go. Oh, well, good. K-A-L-A, okay? The kalas are basically like cycles or times a day. 2 to 6, 6 to 10, 10 to 2, okay? So I'm looking now at the day. So I'm first going to start with the day. And there are kalas or cycles for all kinds of things, okay? But just the day, real, real simple. 2 to 6, and let's start in the morning, okay? 2 to 6 a.m. is Vata time. So, give you a couple of clues. This is the time when you tend to have more active dreams. You know, I'm not really into all the sleep cycle stuff and things like that, but at that time of night, you know, you tend to have more active dreams. You remember what was going on in your dreams. It is said by almost every tradition that has ritual and routine that first thing in the morning is the best time to meditate. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you meditate, this is a good time to meditate. And that means it'd be good to be up by 6 o'clock. And I'll talk to you more about other ways that that comes into play here, but the bottom line rule in Ayurveda is go to bed no later than 10, get up no later than 6. Okay? And that's a big shift for some people who have said, well, I'm a night owl, or I can't do that, or I never know what's going to happen, okay? That's a Vata imbalance, by the way. I don't know what's going to happen, I just have to flow with it. So, but anyways, that's where that is. So that's a great time for meditation. So if you meditate, think about trying that out. That's when the mind is really the most actively attuned with this space and air, this openness, this receptivity.
Visioning.
Yeah, great visioning time.
You're listening.
Yeah. Now, from 6 to 10.
Talk about AM. Oh, this is AM. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I'll talk about what that means in PM as well, but because these cycles do repeat. Okay? But 6 to 10. This is Kapha time. Kapha time, remember, Kapha time is the time when you're most focused on, not your mind here, but your body is most focused on building the body, maintaining the body. This makes it the very best time to exercise.
And work in the garden.
You know, to get out and to move. And so what happens is if you're up by 6, and you actually are moving or doing something, then what you've got now is you have Kapha energy, this strong, solid, stable energy. You have it in motion. You ever notice if you sleep in and then you feel kind of sluggish and off all morning or all day even? The theory is, if you're used to being in this cycle, if you sleep in to the middle of Kapha time, it's like you've gone into Kapha time. Kapha said, well, where's the activity? Where's the energy? It's nowhere. Oh, good, I'm supposed to be a brick. And that's what happens. You get up and you feel like a brick. So this is a great time to get up and begin moving, to really be out there walking. It doesn't have to be vigorous. It just needs to be moving, active. Even if it's just getting up and showering and saying, hello, I'm moving, I'm alive, and get this Kapha energy going. So great time to exercise or move during the day then. Also, they recommend in Ayurveda that you eat a light breakfast, and depending on your type and what works for you and all that kind of stuff, don't worry about it. But if you eat a lot during Kapha time, what you do is you signal your body, I'm giving you lots of fuel, I want you to build the body. And so, yeah, exactly. So it's a time when if you eat a lot or the wrong foods at breakfast, it goes to building Kapha and mass in the body. Not particularly what most of us want. 10 to 2. This is our Pitta time. Now, this is the hottest time, so just think about it, right in the middle of that is noon, high noon. I mean, if the sun is shining, today was a beautiful day, okay? But 10 to 2 is Pitta time. That's the best time to eat your main meal of the day. And if you look at most
cultures,
you can all go all the way back, I guess, but just look at most cultures that don't have a clock to run by necessarily. You know, they have their midday meal, they have their siesta, they have their whatever they do, but they have the main meal in the middle of the day. In fact, a lot of parts of our country, they call that dinner and then they call it supper when you have something a little lighter in the evening, okay? This is when the digestive juices are the strongest, are the most flowing. So I'm going to give you a pitch for eating your main meal in the middle of the day, noon, give or take a little bit, having that be a cooked meal or warm meal. Now, if you eat raw, that's a whole other thing, doesn't matter, but I'm just saying that if you're going to have a cooked meal, that's the time to do it.
Fresh.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you come to that?
Yeah.
I think I might have written this down wrong, but I'm getting the wrong idea. Does it go from top to bottom on this sheet? Vata, pitta, kapha?
Yes.
Okay, so we're doing vata, kapha, pitta.
Well, yeah, this during the day, so don't worry about this, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So the column, the time of day, don't go in the order of the sheet. The sheet's just there to give us some organizing principles, okay?
Great.
Yeah. So eat your main meal in the middle of the day, preferably fresh cooked or fresh prepared food. Raw or cooked doesn't make any difference, but have it fresh. This is when your digestive energy is the highest, and this is when, picture this, during this time of the day, your brain's food computers are switched on high. They're turned on. When you eat food during this time of the day, that food is all programmed, put on its own little magical conveyor belt to go where it needs to go at the time it needs to get there throughout your whole day. There are a lot of people who are practicing, well, not even practicing, there are a lot of people who just eat one meal a day. And they eat that meal in the middle of the day. And I'm not recommending this, but I'm saying that if you do that, your body, after just a couple of days, will actually say, okay, this is what you're giving me. I'll dole it out over the next 24 hours until we get around to this lunchtime again. So just know this is when your body is the smartest about how it handles food. Other times, the computer shut off and food just does what it does. Okay.
That's why most people, by the way, most cultures, go home for lunch. Farmers, most religious cultures actually eat, like I'm thinking about the Buddhists, you know, they actually eat only one meal primarily, and it is from 11 to 3 or from the third person.
So now we come back around again, and I can just throw these out again, but it doesn't really matter. Two to six in the afternoon is another vata time, okay? And then six
and
to ten.
And a good time to meditate.
Ten to two, okay? So that's your next best time to meditate. It's the time when you can use that mental energy to connect, to take some time out, and to lighten up in your day. And a lot of times people, by the way, that's their slow time in the day. That's when they kind of go dead. Well, the time when we need to actually get a little bit of movement, get that vata energy going, get some ideas, get inspired, do some writing, do some creativity, do some meditation. 6 to 10. This is our next kapha time. Now, this kapha time is the time when we're going to be gradually slowing down. That's why I call it evening. So we're evening out our day. So in the morning, from 6 to 10 a.m., kapha time is all about, okay, let's get this energy moving here and take this kapha energy and build a strong body. And in the evening, 6 to 10, that's the time when you're saying, okay, let's settle into this kapha energy. You know, let's mellow out. Let's relax. And yes, you'll eat probably some supper or some dinner, but again, you want to keep it lighter. Remember, whatever you eat during kapha time goes to build more kapha. Now, ideally, this is bedtime, 10 o'clock. And there's a real reason for this. There's a lot of real reasons. I make them all up. Between 10 and 2 is your next pitta time. Now, remember I told you pitta is that digestive energy. It's that fiery enzyme activity that makes our digestion so good and so accurate in the middle of the day. Between 10 and 2, if you actually go to bed, go to sleep, that pitta energy is your house cleaning crew. That pitta energy actually goes through and cleans up all the residue from the day. It clears house. It cleans up all of the cells. It gets your blood going fresh and neat and filtered and all of that. And so it basically, it cleans everything up. If you are awake, do you ever notice that someplace around 11 or 12, you kind of get the midnight munchies? Because you're awake, the pitta energy is going, and it says, well, if you're not going to shut down, at least feed me. And if you eat during that time, that energy goes to digestion, and you miss your house cleaning. Which means it's better to eat earlier in this 6 to 10 kapha time than it is later. Because if you eat right at 10 and then go to bed, I'm to bed by 10, well, you got all this food in there, and pitta energy has nothing to do but say, well, I've got to digest this first, and by then, it's used up all its juice. Okay? So that has to do with the kalas in terms of daytime. And, yeah. Anything else? Probably, by the way, I'll just tell you just briefly, you can look at this. You can look at the kalas in terms of your life. We start out our life in a kapha phase, which means we're little babies, and it's all building bodies. It's getting this body alive and healthy and well and strong. And then when we kind of sort of grow up and go off and get a job, we get this really competitive, driving energy, and it's totally appropriate for us to want to achieve and want to get things done and want to take care of business, okay? And then at some point in time, we're actually supposed to reach a time in our life where we give ourselves time to kind of let go a little and open up a little bit and have some of this vata spiritual energy here, okay? So you can look at kalas in terms of lots of things, but that's stuff about the daytime. So questions? Does that make any sense?
Okay. It's funny how we see the seed, you know, when these things happen, you just can tell when the body's doing these things.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, and what happens, we sometimes we ignore it for so long that we actually don't allow ourselves anymore to notice it. And so if this doesn't do anything other than say, oh yeah, I've got these cycles, I kind of notice I have times that are better for things than others, whatever your timing feels like, go with it. And again, I'll tell you, there's just lots of truth in this universally, because that's the way we're created to operate. And so if you want to try an experiment, if you're not doing your life kind of on this calendar, this schedule here, try that out. And give it a little time and see if it doesn't help you feel a little more in sync.
Yeah, most people's lives aren't, at least my life, or a lot of my life, didn't have the space to do those, you know,
yeah.
Or a job or whatever.
Yeah.
A job.
Yeah.
You get half an hour, an hour to eat, and that's it. Things are quick. In the middle of the day, it was for me. And traditionally, through my whole life, the heavier meal has been later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, when I grew up, my dad got home from work at 5 o'clock, almost to the minute, and we ate dinner at 5.
Wow.
We had to be home, ready to eat, when dad got home. And then we could go out and play or whatever. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of natural wisdom, you know, when we somehow let ourselves tap into that. It's like our grandparents' knowledge about, you know, eating carrots for pinworms and those kind of things. So two other things I want to give you because they're important, they're helpful. One, I want to give you what I consider to be the simplest, the easiest, and actually one of the most effective detoxification routines. And it comes straight out of Ayurveda. It's a basic, fundamental building block principle in Ayurveda, and it's called hot water. The hot water routine goes like this. You take 3 to 4 sips of very hot water once an hour.
Huh? 3 points in at 30 minutes.
You could do that. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually written up as an hour.
By the way, I just want to say, and well, maybe there'll be some time later, there's a lot of practical ways to put this into a regular everyday life, because I've done it.
Yeah.
Take thermos of hot water. Have it with you.
Yeah.
So every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Instead of now, but
yeah.
It's just a little bit. Just sip it.
The key is regularity. No less frequently than once an hour.
What it does is it melts the ama or the mucus.
Yeah. So here's what happens. Two things happen with this that help to get toxicity out of your body. One is what she just mentioned, she talked about earlier, that one of the purposes of fat in our body is to encapsulate toxins. And so we build up toxins either from what we eat or what we breathe or the way we live or the waste products of our body and all that, and no place to go, nothing to do with it, so the body encapsulates it in fat, which is why it's very difficult for people who have gained weight to lose weight, because the body knows on some instinctive level it is not safe to let go of this fat, so if I let go of this fat, I'm opening up Pandora's box, literally. So the temperature of the water is very, very important. It ought to be hot enough that you kind of have to blow on it to cool it down. And again, just 3 to 4 sips. We're not talking about gallons of, my mother used to drink. Yeah, that was a whole other thing. She would drink, really, she'd always have a pot of hot water and she'd call it tea. She'd drag a tea bag through it, you know. But hot water and lemon juice, you know. And by the way, lemon juice, if you don't just like water, lemon juice is not a bad additive. But this is not tea. This is not coffee. This is not any liquid. This is really pure, clean, hot water with a little lemon if you want, okay? So the temperature needs to be hot, 3 to 4 sips, no less frequently than once an hour. The second thing is the routine and the frequency. What you're actually doing is you're teaching your body that it can trust you. And you're saying, I will give you water every hour. And what happens now is it becomes safe. After a couple of days, your body will actually begin to release those toxins because it knows that there will always be water there to flush them away. So,
I feel like exhaling when you say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like now I can let this go because I trust there's going to be a constant supply of what I need, which is water to flush this away. Now, this does not replace your 6 to 8 glasses of water every day or whatever it is you do and everything else. This is a separate routine. And, yeah, and so that's what it's for. It's detoxification. You want to do this for probably a week to 10 days. And what you'll notice is nothing for the first couple of days. And then most people notice that they have a strong urge to pee about twice as much as usual the next day. The body's saying, okay, I finally believe you, let go, let go, let go, let go, and then everything will normalize. But then things begin to just, like, your energy will shift and things will happen in terms of the whole detoxification routine. You can then do this every other day, because your body's gotten into this habit, so you've done it for a week to 10 days, every single day, every waking hour, by the way. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night, okay? And so if you do it every other day, it's enough to keep the pattern going.
Or anytime you feel mucusy.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's doing. It's clearing all the goo stuff.
Yeah, that's the stuff. So the other thing that I promised I'd tell you, so does that make sense? It's simple, it's clear, there's no side effects. You're never going to, under this system, release any toxins you can't flush away right away. Yeah, it's really fail-safe.
So once you start this, you just do it?
Yeah, do it seven to ten. Oh, you can stop. I mean,
you can stop.
Yeah.
And start again.
Yeah, and start again. Or you might just say, you know, I feel better when I'm just doing this, and you'll just do it.
It's no harm. You can't.
Yeah.
Do too much or too little.
And probably, by the way, I mean, because again, after a week to 10 days, you can do it every other day, you know, and it still maintains it. And the deal there is you want to just make sure that it's not like, oh, well, every couple hours I'll have some all the time. No, it's every other day you do on the hour. Yeah.
so that you get that full routine in there periodically to
I
keep.
I like that concept of the body trusting.
Yeah.
Taking care of it.
Thank you. Yes. Last thing I want to give you is the what they call Abhyanga, but it's the sesame oil massage or just the skin massage, okay? And because not everybody will use sesame oil. The skin massage, the skin is the largest organ of elimination in the body. When you have healthy skin, I mean, understand that your skin lets go of more toxins, more waste products than your bowels. Okay? So it's a lot of stuff comes through that skin. When your skin is healthy, life is good. When your skin is shut down and not healthy, then you become more toxic. So it's really important to have healthy skin. The second thing about the skin is it is the second largest producer of endorphins and antidepressants, painkillers, and joy juice. Okay? So when you stimulate the skin, you stimulate those antidepressants and you stimulate those endorphins.
See why people like massage stuff and you would do
that. Yeah, yeah. So this is an Ayurvedic routine which you can do for yourself every day very quickly in very little amounts of time to keep your skin healthy and to keep your endorphins and antidepressants flowing freely, okay? And what happens is, I'll give it to you here real shortly. It's very brisk massage. This is not a deep tissue massage. This is a skin stimulation. So that's the key thing. When you talk about massage, people think, oh, how do I really get all, you know, how do I do that myself? No, you don't. It's stimulation. So you just think, it's just like this. It's lengthwise on the long bones. It's circular on the joints. Okay? Lengthwise on the long bones, circular on the joints. Now, ideally, you do this every morning, before or every evening, doesn't matter, but whenever you're going to shower or bathe, because there's some advantage to doing this before you shower or bathe, okay? So you do this and it takes you a couple of minutes. And you can, by the way, take forever. If you're a Kapha type, you can take 20 minutes to do this. You know, if you're a Vata type, you can do it in about a minute and a half. Okay? So it doesn't take long. And just remember now, it's just skin stimulation. That's what you want.
With a brush or just with hands? Because you're going to talk about brush.
Either way, if you want to do dry, you can do it with a brush or with a little loofah, or you can just do it with your hand, okay? The brush or loofah gives a little more stimulation. So either way. The way it is recommended is usually called a sesame oil massage, because what they recommend is that you take a small amount, not slathering sesame oil, take a small amount of sesame oil, and work that into the skin, just the same way. A little bit of sesame oil, work it in the skin. Okay, that's for a different purpose, and I'll tell you how this works. But yeah, for some people, it's possible if you have a severe pitta imbalance that the sesame oil massage will be too stimulating. In which case, coconut oil is just fine.
Sesame oil is hot. It leaves a warm feeling on your skin.
So sesame oil, the reason you do this ahead of time before you shower is sesame oil is very active. You guys ever, you know the concept of Mexican jumping beans? You know, those little beans that seem to be alive? Well, that's what, think of the sesame oil is. Okay, you're putting a little bit of sesame oil on the skin. You then take a nice hot shower or bath. What happens is your skin pores open up. Little bits of the sesame oil get in there, and when you get out of your shower or bath, you towel dry, not to wipe all the oil off your skin, but you just kind of pat the towel dry, and as your skin cools off, it closes down, and you've got this little teeny, just picture this little Mexican bean inside the little layers of the skin there. And all through the day, it's moving, it's stimulating the skin.
The
talking about the sesame molecule or something?
Yeah, I'm just talking about, see, the sesame oil, I'm trying to give you a visualization. But yeah, there's a little sesame oil in there. I mean, that sesame oil is hot. It's active. It's moving. And so it's always, throughout the whole day, it's stimulating your skin, which is stimulating the production of antidepressants and endorphins.
And for me, it's good for Vata imbalance because Vata types usually have cold skin.
Yeah.
Cold hands, feet.
What about temperature of water?
Hot water.
So
because again, you want to open up the pores of the skin. So you know you're not going to use a lot of oil, and sesame oil is preferred unless you have an adverse reaction to it. It'll leave you feeling just way too, like, over the top. Some pitta types or pitta imbalances need to use coconut oil, which is cooler, but it won't have the same stimulating effects, okay? Now, there's a secret to this that you need to know. On the sesame oil, you want, like, the Haynes refined sesame oil. You don't want the black seed, you know, oil that's going to be all scratchy and stuff like that, okay? So you want some nice pure oil, okay? And you want to cure that oil one time, which means when you bring it home from the store, you dump it in a pot, in a pan on your stove, you heat it up to 212 degrees, which is the boiling point of water, not the boiling point of oil. And if you want to know what that is, just put a drop of water in the oil. It's drunk to the bottom. As soon as that water bubbles up, it's hot enough. Or use a candy thermometer. But just take it up to a couple hundred degrees. Take it off. Let it cool down. Pour it back in your bottle and most hopefully put it in a plastic container that won't shatter if it slips out of your hands when you're doing this. But what that does is it activates the sesame oil. You only have to do that one time. And again, remember, it's just little bits of sesame oil on the skin, so you shouldn't ever have, like, a bunch of it. And yes, your towels will have a little extra oil. Your shower may have a little oil on it. So, you know, I mean, you just need to be a little more aware of things like that. But all you have to do is wash your towels in hot water and
it
have
ruins them.
Huh?
It ruins them. Your towels, you can't ever get all the oil out. I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you need to be really careful because the floor is slippery.
Yeah,
so
non-slip.
Down something, it will slip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time, or just when you chew it, or you're talking about.
So when you're using the towels to pat yourself dry, just in the oil residue that stays in the towels, just like when you're doing massage, you can't ever clean all of that out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to be aware. Don't mm-hmm. use your good towels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the second little routine, the hot water routine and sesame oil routine. Those two things, you try those, you'll get hooked.
What's the reason for the curing it?
The curing is because if you look at it, it's kind of like, I can say it breaks it down, but it activates the oil. So in the processing, the oil kind of gets, you know, I'll say congealed or thicker, and heating it up one time kind of loosens it all up again.
Mm.
And so now it's more easily absorbed. In the skin, yeah.
Okay.
And again, you only need to do that once.
So I'm just going to say the key things.
Thank you. Yeah.
The key things for me is the schedule of the early morning time is your Vata time to meditate or have that quiet inner visioning listening time. The eating the main meal pitta time and have it be preferably cooked natural vegetables, rice. Plain stuff, not fancy American stuff. And light in the evening. I'm going to say light meal in the evening. The hot water routine, anytime you start feeling sick or feel like you're filled with stuff. The shower thing, I haven't done that in a while, and right this second I'm just going to do something. I probably won't do sesame oil. I'll just do my own massage, okay? Because I used to be a huge body imbalance, huge, and I don't happen to have that. I'm just looking at the things that are really basic. honor what your own schedule is, and I think if you begin to bring yourself into balance, you'll actually know. You'll know what your natural schedule is. This doesn't feel right now, and I need to shift it. Mostly, I watch us. Our mind over our body trying to overcome what's natural. When babies want to sleep, they just lay down and go to sleep. We don't. You know, we do something to get them to activate ourselves. When you want to eat, pay attention to what you want to eat and satisfy it. He hasn't even talked about how each dosha has certain foods or tastes that will satisfy you easily. So for most of us who have vata imbalance, because that's the culture we live in, again, not so much here, it is sweet, sour, and salty. And that's why our culture craves sweet, sour, and salty. That's what, you know, McDonald's is. All the fast food has sweet, sour, and salty in it. I don't know if you know that.
Peanut butter ice cream.
Yeah, but that's the thing about it. Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. You're right.
Definitely the Americans smell like bitter.
Yeah.
And that's much more in the European culture.
Right.
You
exactly.
Bitter. That's totally...
Every, like he was talking about, every continent or every culture or even every family culture, families have their own propensity towards needing to eat a certain way. And then they're satisfied. They don't need to eat more and more and more. I always know if I'm eating off because I want something hasn't been satisfied and I need some more of it. And that's calling me to balance some dosha that I'm not balancing. So, Robert, that's powerful. You really gave a huge amount tonight. I didn't know you were going to do that much. For me, make it practical. Make it practical for yourself. What were you going
to ask? I'm missing how the... Definitely, I don't know how that relates to vata imbalance or balance. I'm missing that.
Mostly vata. Mostly, for me, vata, mostly you're cold all the time. You're up in your head, that's where all your energy is.
Yeah.
It literally makes your body warm, brings your energy down and more balanced.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And so I also want to say that while it's probably the most helpful for vata imbalance, it's helpful for just in general if you're balancing all your doshas, because what it does, again, if you just think of it, it's producing endorphins and antidepressants, painkillers and joy juice, you know, that's going to keep you more alive in your natural balance.
And you do know this culture here is depressant, right? I hope you know that. This area is very depressed. Very depressed. Very little stimulation here. I don't know about Lakeport, but here, for sure. And all areas, as well as family systems, et cetera, all areas have their own primary dysfunction or imbalance. And if you become aware of what it is, then you what you do is you make sure that you do something that doesn't associate with or fit in or fall into, you know, what everybody around you is doing. That's a big deal, just that part all by itself.
I really feel the lack of the stimulation that Carmen...
Yeah.
I mean, since then, I've really, like... I can just feel that.
Yeah.
And that's partly why the whole concept thing surprised me.
Yep.
Because any other time I've done this, it's been by the fitta, you know, pretty close. And it's like,
And the key is stimulation.
Exactly. I really related to everything you're saying. It's like, how do I now then start this happening, and is it possible for me to do that and stay here? Mm-hmm. That's a real big question for me right now.
So the things that I suggest, those simple basic things like meal time and regularity and, you know, keeping, for those of you especially who are kapha types, body types, you know, make sure that you do get your body energy going. I watched Sama out here before yoga class just doing some basic, right now I'm not remembering a kind of yoga, but at any rate, you know, this, you know, just anything that you can do. Do some kind of body practice, body movement practice, you know, to get yourself going. Yeah, walking. But when you walk, not looking down, but looking out and enjoying, looking up, allowing yourself to breathe, allowing yourself to move. There's also exercise patterns for all this. Remember, he said it was a huge health system. Well, it is huge, huge, huge. Certain ways of meditating, certain sounds you use, yeah.
And by the way, the sesame oil massage and the hot water routine both are excellent for kapha imbalance. That's got things, you know, give you stimulation.
Kapha here.
Yeah. So I mean, so it's good for all, but that's good stimulation on several levels. Yeah.
The amount of I'm just going to talk about marijuana. I couldn't remember the name. The amount of marijuana that's being used just adds to literally the kapha imbalance. You know, it slows and creates sluggish and it slows us down. And so that's, you know, it's being grown here. The energy of it is here. Remember, the energy, the natural energy here is fire, volcanic. Mm-hmm. It's definitely pitta. That's what was meant to be here. which means competition and fiery, go for it. There should be dancing and singing and really very aligned energy. Somebody wanted to do karaoke here in this room. We should have stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm just curious, along the lines of this theory, then why is it that this area is so depressed?
Because there is people who have come here from, I don't know how long ago, who came here to get away, came here to be depressed. And they have either brought drugs and alcohol with them, or they're using drugs and alcohol to try to handle the pain of being off balance. Because what it does is it handles the pain, you know. And we have an area that doesn't have competition, doesn't have a lot of business. I mean, what is there to do? You know, when I talk to kids at school here, I mean, these kids have very little. They have the dojo. Thank you so much.
What is it?
They have the dojo, karate.
What is it?
Over in Hidden Valley Lake. Dan. Yeah, yeah, thank goodness we have a few things here, but there's very little for kids to do. You know, this class is free. Why aren't there 100 people here? You know, because they're home, washing the tube or drinking beer or hanging out. You know, a lot of that energy. You know, why are people learning? Why don't we have more people actively participating, serving, creating? You know, thank goodness for Mac, actually. Thank goodness for Mac. Yeah, I know you are.
No,
now, why are people using these computers all the time? You know, that's what we set this up for. Why isn't this room fully active? It's because people are in their cafe and balance. Yeah. It's safe. Hide away. Yeah. Did you want to say something, Chris?
I love this class. Group or whatever this is, because it does stimulate me. I say that to people. Every time I leave, I feel better than when I came in, and I look forward to it all week, and I know I don't come every time, but
thank you.
I tend to,
yeah.
And something comes up.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Seems like the, you know, things like this are just a time to set aside to focus on yourself a little bit. Just, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be doing this sort of thing. You know, and that's what's good for me, is like just getting together with folks and saying, oh yeah, we're supposed to be kind of thinking about this once in a while. That's what I have to do, is get out of my, you know, business world and get out of what I'm doing all the time, and too much routine, kind of what I always feel like I'm in, getting out of that for a second.
Yeah,
kind of,
thank you.
It feels good.
Yeah.
That's good, thank you. Yeah.
Most, the traditional way of looking at a business or working is to find an idea and then find people to make that happen.
And or do it yourself. I'm a do-it-yourselfer.
You still need connections in most the building.
Mm-hmm.
You have contacts, somebody to get the building, that sort of thing. But I think I had this idea when I was in my 20s that I wanted to just find really good people and then find something for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just get people together and see.
Yeah, any excuse will do. Any excuse will
do. Instead of having this idea and trying to get people to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But just get really good people together and see what happens.
And what is it? And what will do?
Any good idea will do to attract people. Any good idea. Any project to bring people together to do something, anything. Yeah.
It's amazing how few groups of anything there are.
And you're the one who looked. See, I didn't know that.
I love groups and getting together, and I love taking classes. I love school.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, I went to college for many years. And now I'm always wondering what class can I go to, you know?
Yeah.
It's just there's so few groups in our area as a whole and in the county of people getting together and doing things of any kind. It's amazing.
I'm finding the opposite. I'm finding all kinds of things.
Good job.
That's good.
All kinds of historical societies, Lower Lake Castle, we've got the Gibson Museum here.
Yeah, the permaculture stuff around.
Yeah, and I just joined the Hidden Valley Garden Club, and I went to the Senior Center for lunch today, and heard talk on gardening, and, you know.
It may be my title of life, then.
And we each have our own unique interests, too, and the things that really speak to us. So, I'm really glad, you know, you've got things that are going, this thing's to me, so. And that's what we need to find, is what it is that actually fulfills our own need.
And we need to remember, we don't have many people here. Most people, I was shocked. I was probably here 6 months before I realized that the whole county, which is a very large county, has fewer people than a medium-sized town. That's 65,000 people in this whole county. And most of them are not here because they're off there working, or they're hunkered down in their own, what do you call that, off-the-grid spaces. There's a lot of off-the-grid stuff here. They don't want anybody to know they're here. They're hiding away. I mean, the biggest employer in this county, she mentioned Harbin, it's the biggest employer in the whole county. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that.
How many is that?
165 people lived there.
Wow.
Most people don't know.
Is that bigger than the casino?
Yeah, in terms of, employers, yeah.
Wow.
There were about 250. But a lot of those were local hires.
250, is that what you're saying? Local hires?
Local hires.
Wow.
And the area did get a lot of the people moved here because they were paroled here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sex offenders?
Well, yeah. That's the formative culture of it, I think.
Exactly, because there wasn't anybody to protest.
Well, because we have no prison, so
you can't be here if there's a state prison in the county.
Yeah, and it's a cheap county. They say, oh, we won't be putting them near a prison, and it's a cheap place to do it. So
within 100 miles.
If you're in a state prison and you get on parole, you can't come to Lake County.
You can.
Yeah. No, you can only come here because there is no state prison here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I went to the Social Security office today, and I was like, the first question from a guard was, you have a gun, a knife, or pepper spray with you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to. There's like an armed guard at the door. It's a little tiny office with like 2 windows. And they have an armed guard at the door.
Well, you do, I think you do know. I mean, some of you do watch television and debates and stuff. I mean, that ought to be a way to tell you something. There's a lot of anger maybe in some of you about the government and governmental agencies, and when you have no place to use your energy, it comes out in angry ways, because all anger is just energy that you've held on to, and then when you let it go, it can do what we see happen, bam, bam, bam. That's all. So we need to find more ways to be energized.
Yeah.
In positive, creative ways. So anytime you do anything, like go out to new groups and stuff, or create new ideas, or do research, you're doing something good for yourself and for our culture.
Yeah.
Just do more. Do it. Just do it.
There you go.
Just do it. And I got to go get up and do it, because I got to pee. So I'm saying thank you.
Thank you, guys, very, very much.
Thank you.
See you
thank
next
you,
week.
That was really good. Thank you.